I want to thank you for the invitation to come down here. It feels like it's a homecoming for me. There's lots of you I've known for 50 years, and many faces I don't know. There's some of you I don't know, but I'm glad to be back. You know, part of the problem of growing up in the Church of God Seventh Day and living in a few different places is there's always people like Melva who knows these stories about you, and you wish they wouldn't tell them, but Melva, that was a good one, so that was okay. I'm sure John could tell you a lot of other stories about the truck driving and so on, but I want to thank you for allowing me to be here this morning and to share this evangelism week that you've been having for the month of September. I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to just be with us this morning. Father, we want to take this time to thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here and to just enjoy worshiping you and praising you and glorifying you. And then, Father, the opportunity of hearing your word. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So, Father, we know that you are here. We know that Jesus is here. And we know that your Holy Spirit is moving upon us this morning. We ask you to continue to do that so that when we leave here today, we leave here knowing that we were in your presence and that you moved upon us mightily. Lord, may this not be just a time where we come together because this is what we do every Sabbath, but we're here expecting you to work and work among us and change our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I pastored in Denver. Total time I was there was 20 years, and I just retired a few years ago and moved to the Missouri Ozarks. And I'm not very comfortable preaching on a stage, and so all my time I was in Denver, I preached from the floor. So thank you for being gracious and allowing me to preach from the floor this morning and not up on the stage. I know that I'm short, I realize that, and when I move around, I like to walk around, you're going to have to bend a little bit because I'm not tall like the rest of you. But thank you again. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. When I was a young guy at Springvale, I heard pastors say all the time that I needed to be involved in evangelism. I needed to be telling people that they needed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because if I didn't, they were going to die. Of course, we heard that. You know, folks, and I had very little success doing evangelism with the methods that I personally had developed. I want to share those methods with you, just a couple of them. First, there was the bar method. Anybody ever heard of that? When I was 17 years old at Springvale, they used to take us into town, and I wanted to share my faith, and so I thought, well, I'm going to go into the bar. There's a lot of sinners in there. So I'm 16 years old, and I walked into the bar, and, you know, I was shorter than I am now. I had a growth spurt when I was in my senior year. But anyway, I went up into the bar, and the bartender looked at me, and he said, what do you want? And I said, I got something to say. Well, what do you have to say? And so I said to the bartender, I looked him right in the face, and I said, if you don't repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. He looked at me, and he said, kid, if you don't get out of here, you're going to jail. Well, that one didn't work. So I was thinking, what would be a better way than to pass out gospel tracts? So I got a handful of gospel tracts, and I put a little tiny rock in each one of them and put a rubber band around it, and I stood on the street corner. It was summertime in Michigan, and it's pretty humid, and people, as they would drive by and turn the corner, they had that passenger window down. I tossed the tract through the window. That didn't work very well. So my two attempts that I developed on evangelism really didn't work very well for me. It wasn't until I was older that I learned that evangelism was really, and how to share my faith was really more of a process than it was an event. You know, most of the time we think of evangelism as an event. Evangelism is praying with somebody and leading them in a repentant, a sinner's prayer, and that they will repent of their sins and ask for forgiveness and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the event. But I've learned that there's a process involved, that effective evangelism takes both the process and the event. There's a process that you have to take people through to get them to the point of where they're willing to pray and repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And over the years, I learned that that process of getting people to make a commitment to Christ was almost as important as the event of praying and asking people to come into their lives. Have you ever heard pastors stand up in the pulpit and preach that you have to go out and you have to tell people that you share your faith and tell people they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Have you ever heard pastors do that? Well, I have. In fact, in the past, I've done that. I've told people, Matthew 28:19-20 gives the church the great commission to go out and preach the gospel and bring people into a saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, let me tell you what I learned. I learned that people have three problems with sharing their faith and with evangelism. Problem number one is a lot of people don't know what to say. And then there are those people who don't know how to say it. And then there are those people who don't know what to say and don't know how to say it, and so they're afraid to talk to people about their need for accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me tell you let me give you a definition of effective evangelism. See, we think that it's all up to us. It's our responsibility. Our responsibility to lead people to Jesus Christ. Effective evangelism is this: taking the initiative to share Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to who? To God. Absolutely. You know, Jesus said that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. So that takes all the pressure off of us in sharing our faith. It's not my responsibility to make sure that my neighbor down the street or my neighbor next door or my unsaved brother or my unsaved son or whoever it may be, it takes the pressure off of me that I just have to share my faith and I have to lead them to Christ, because, once again, effective evangelism is taking the initiative to share Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. Saying amen to me is like saying sick him to a bulldog, so just go ahead and say amen. I want to share with you this morning 6 steps to effective evangelism. And I want to encourage you this morning. Folks, I want us to understand that, yes, Jesus gave us the Great Commission to share our faith and to tell people about Jesus Christ. That is true. But my intention this morning is not to push anybody into doing something that they're not comfortable doing. What I'm hoping this morning is that I help you become comfortable to realize you can share your faith. Here are the 6 steps, beginning with step number 1. Evangelism, folks, needs to be intentional. Here's what I mean by that. Jesus gave us the reason why he came to this earth. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And it says this: "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's why he came. He left his home in heaven, came down to this earth for the purpose of seeking and saving lost people and bringing lost people to himself, so that lost people can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Once we get over our fear, and maybe not only fear, but sometimes we have indifference because of that fear, we need to ask God to bring lost people into our lives through what we call divine appointments. Did you ever pray that prayer? God, give me divine appointments. Bring some lost person who needs to hear the gospel message into my life so I can share Christ with them. We need to be intentionally looking for people who need to hear the gospel. We need to intentionally begin talking to people about spiritual things. And I want you to know something, that when you meet somebody who needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it doesn't mean that you have to unload the whole Bible on them at once. Remember I told you that evangelism is a process that we take people through so that they come to a point where they're willing to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Tonight at 5 o'clock we're going to show you how to take people through that process to where they'll get to the point to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I attended a Navigator conference, folks. The Navigators are a group out of Colorado Springs. They're on college campuses. They're on military bases. As far as I'm concerned, they wrote the book on evangelism and mentoring. And I went to a large Navigator conference one time, and there was a guy sharing his testimony that he was at a conference, and he was sharing his testimony about when he was in the Navy. He was on leave in Melbourne, Australia. And he was walking down the street one evening, and some guy just came up to him, and all he said to him was, "Young man, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you've never prayed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he wants you to know that he died on the cross for your sins, and he loves you and wants to spend eternity with you." That's all he said. He thanked him for his time, and he moved on. Well, at that conference, there was a guy across the room who stood up and said, "That same guy approached me when I was in the Navy, and I was stationed in Melbourne, Australia." And on the other side of the room, there was another guy who stood up and said the same thing. "That guy approached me when I was in Melbourne, Australia, and he said the same exact thing to me." And somebody in the back said the same thing. And before that conference, that guy was done speaking, there was about 7 or 8 guys who testified that they came to Christ because one guy simply said, "Jesus loves you and wants to spend eternity with you." You never know how God will take those simple words, "Jesus loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him," and take them deep in a person's heart and help them to have a life-changing experience through Jesus Christ. Doug Harvey said this, "Everything in the scripture is either presentation for the gospel, is either preparation for the gospel, presentation of the gospel, or participation in the gospel." And folks, that's what we're here for as a church. I want us to understand that we are here, the Church of God Seventh Day is here, and our primary goal is to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why God has placed our church here, to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am not telling you that what we believe as a church is not important, because it is. But first and foremost is the preaching and teaching of the gospel message. Can you say amen to that? Second thing that evangelism is, it's interpersonal. It's interpersonal. There's a gentleman named Wynn Arn who has an institute called the American Church Growth. And he did a survey, and he did a report on the survey that his institute did some years back, 1980 to be exact. And the survey was called the Master's Plan for Making Disciples. And what they did was they surveyed over 17,000 people over a period of time. And they asked them this question, what or who is responsible for your coming to Christ and starting to attend church? And here's what they said. 75 to 90% of the people surveyed said that they came to Christ because someone asked them to gave them an invitation to come to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. 75 to 90%. And you know what? When you look at churches across the nation, and you ask people who sit in the pews the question, "What brought you to Jesus Christ?" Most of those people, 75% or more, will tell you, "I came to Jesus Christ because somebody took the time to share Jesus Christ with me. And I'm in church today because somebody invited me to church." See how important that interpersonal relationship is? We have to have relationships with people that we're praying for so that we can lead them to Christ. Because I want you to know something. Sharing Jesus Christ is a very personal matter. It's a very personal thing. And having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ makes it easier for us, as we have that relationship, to be able to share our personal testimony and help people bridge the gap between where they are and finding Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Take your Bibles for just a minute and go to John chapter 4. Let's go to John 4 for just a minute. You familiar with the story of the woman at the well in John 4, the Samaritan woman? I want to read to you not the whole chapter, because the whole chapter is an evangelistic gem, okay? Jesus connects with this woman while he's at the well. He's sitting by the well. You know, he's thirsty, has no way to draw water from the well. This Samaritan woman comes with this pot that she's going to fill for water, and Jesus starts a conversation with her. Now, this is Jesus Christ. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He came to earth to seek and save lost people. You'll notice in this text that the first thing in John 4 that Jesus did not do was tell this woman, listen, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Son of God. I came into this world to save lost people. And if you want to spend eternal life with God, you need to accept me as your personal Savior. That's not the first thing he said. He started a conversation with this lady. And they had a conversation that got intense. And I want you to look with me just for a minute at John chapter 4. We're going to start looking at verses 28 through 30. Jesus has this conversation with this woman, and eventually she finds out who Jesus is. She forgets about filling the water pot, leaves the water pot at the well, runs into town, and finds these town people. And here's what it says. Then, leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. She had a relationship with these town people because these town people knew exactly who she was. You know what kind of a woman she was? She had how many husbands? 5. And then Jesus said, and the guy you're with now, he's not your husband. He took the time to develop that relationship and he shared himself with her. She went into town and shared with the townspeople, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. See, it's personal. Sharing your faith in Jesus Christ, it has to be interpersonal. It has to come from the heart. We have to share with people the simple message, the profound message, the impacting message. I want to share with you the life-changing experience I had with Jesus Christ. Here's a third thing. Evangelism needs to be inspirational. Okay? It needs to be inspirational. We need to share with people what we were like before we knew Jesus Christ, how we came to Christ, and now we need to share with them, now that we're Christians, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Let me ask you this question. Since you've come to Jesus Christ has done nothing for you. Is that right? Can you hold up your hand and say, well, since I came to Jesus Christ, he hasn't done anything for me. Everybody sitting here this morning can tell somebody, since I came to Jesus Christ, this is my life-changing experience. This is how he changed my life. We can tell what we were like before we received Jesus Christ. We can tell how we received Jesus Christ. And we can tell them, now that I received Jesus Christ, since I've received Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, this is what he's done in my life. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. For her, it was a life-changing experience. And folks, I want you to know something. You've had a life-changing experience too. Now, you know what? You may have grown up in the church all your lives. Your parents may have brought you to church when you were a week old. and you were in church all of your life. And you may think, well, I don't have a testimony because I grew up in the church. I was in church all of my life. Well, that may be. But you know what? When you watch football, if you're 50 yards away from the goal line, or if you're 1 yard away from the goal line, do you get a point? Do you get a touchdown? No. So the bottom line is, even if we've grown up in the church and we don't feel like we have a testimony, we have a testimony. We simply share with people. We realize at some point we needed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we repented of our sins, invited Him into our life, and He changed our lives. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Evangelism is invitational. I've been telling you that for the last few minutes. That's the fourth thing evangelism is. It's invitational. You know, I retired from the ministry. I'd been in the ministry I got my 42-year pin in Omaha, Nebraska, and then I retired a couple years ago. But there was a point when I was pastoring, I was in between pastorates in Sacramento, California, that I got this idea that I wanted to sell cars. Okay. Can you imagine that, going from being a pastor to selling cars? I never lied. I never pulled anything deceitful or dishonest. That's why I got out of the car business, because I couldn't sell very many cars. One of the things I did when I was selling cars is I could tell you I sold Buicks. I'm a fan of Buicks. I sold Buicks. And I could take people out to the car and I could show them all the bells and whistles on the car and all the fancy things that Buick put on the car. I could talk to them about Buick safety features. I could show them how to run the electronics on the car. But if I didn't tell them, folks, would you like to buy this car today? Because I can make it happen for you. You could take this home today and you can drive home in a brand new Buick. See, the idea is, when we talk to people about Jesus Christ, we have to give them the invitation to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And a lot of times we're afraid. That's where the fear comes in. We're afraid to talk to people about Jesus because we're afraid it's going to offend them. Or we're afraid it's going to make them mad. Or we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings if we give them an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But you know what my discovery was? I'm going to tell you a story at the end of the sermon. My discovery is people are looking for something more than what they're getting in this life. We see a lot of garbage going on in the world around us. But let me tell you what people are hurting of. They're afraid of dying, and they are loaded down with guilt. And they have a lot of emptiness and void in their life. Did you hear what I said? Those are the three things. They're afraid of dying, they're loaded down with guilt, and they have emptiness and they're void in their lives. Well, folks, I'm not afraid of dying because I know where I'm going. And I have no guilt in my life because Jesus Christ forgave me of every single sin that I've committed. And I don't have an emptiness and a void in my life because guess what? Jesus filled that God-shaped void in my life and gave me happiness and peace and joy like I never had when I was outside of Jesus Christ. So people are just waiting for us to talk to them. Let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. I want to read to you verses 35 through 46. I want to read this to you. This is exciting to me. John 1, 35 through 46. My favorite disciple of all of them, my favorite apostle of all the apostles, including the apostle Paul, when it comes to evangelism, is Andrew. And you're going to see the reason why. John 1, everybody there in John 1, verses 35 through 42. Okay, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, See, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked them, "What do you want?" Well, that's a good question. They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So there's the invitation. See that? "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. So can you imagine that? That Andrew and his other disciples spent a whole day with Jesus. They spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Now notice this in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And notice this. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And notice what it says in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. First evangelist was Andrew. First person to ever bring somebody to Jesus was Andrew. And the first person to come to Jesus was his brother Peter. But he gave him an invitation. He brought him to Christ. Let's read on, verses 43 through 46. Now notice this. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see." "Come and see," said Philip. These were the first invitations for people to come and find Jesus as their personal Savior. And folks, there are people all across your city. You know, I know people who want to go in the missionary work and they want to go across the ocean. They want to go to wherever it is they want to go. And I applaud that. But folks, do you realize that there are churches in other countries that are sending missionaries to America? Do you realize that? There are churches in other countries that are sending missionaries to America. Why is that? We have missionaries already here. It's us. There are people here who need to hear the gospel message. And you know what? We can give them the answer to what they're looking for. That emptiness and a void, Jesus can fill that. That fear of death, Jesus can fill that. That guilt and shame, Jesus can forgive that. And so, we can do that. You can do it. Because you're not doing it under your own strength and power. You're doing it under the power and inspiration of who? The Holy Spirit, working in you, on you, and through you. I love what the Samaritan woman said. This prostitute woman went back to town with a changed person. They could look at her and they could see the change. And all she said was, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." Number five, if you've taken notes, evangelism is instructional. This is what I mean by evangelism is instructional. Let's flip over for just a minute to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 for just a minute. 2 Timothy 2, 2. I want you all to go there. I want you to hear what Paul said. You know, a lot of times when people come to Christ, and I talked to a guy not too long, in fact, it was like a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a guy about his spiritual walk, and he told me he had come to the Lord, but he had fallen away, and I said, "Well, why did you fall away?" He said, "Because I didn't have anybody to come alongside me and teach me what it was to be a Christian." And I want to read you this text from 2 Timothy 2:2, and you'll understand why I'm talking about evangelism is instructional, because a part of the evangelism process is instructing people on how to grow spiritually. And the things, Paul said, "You have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people will also be qualified to teach others. There's four generations. Here's what Paul's saying. All things you, Timothy, that's one. Heard from me, that's two. In the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to reliable people, that's three. Who will also be qualified to teach others, that's four. And see, that's what discipleship is all about. When we bring people to Christ, we come alongside them and we teach them how to be what I call self-feeding Christians. In other words, we teach them how to get into the Word. We teach them how to read the Bible. We teach them how to have a quiet time. Do you know that more and more people in this world, like young people going to college, the statistics show this. Young people going to college, more and more young people who are going through the doors of a college know less and less about the Bible and spiritual things than they did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Because they're not being taught. And so they need to be taught. When they come to Christ, these brand new babies in Christ need to be taken into intensive care and taught the basics. And let me tell you something. If you've ever taken a brand new Christian who's never had any kind of spiritual influence, they drink it up like a dry sponge sucking up water. And they just can't get enough. And you get the joy of teaching them, and you get the joy of watching them grow. And folks, if you're sitting there this morning thinking, oh, I can't do that, you know what? You can do it. It's God working through you. There's a wealth of spiritual information here with people. You are godly people. You have deep walks in relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? There are people who need what you have and need what you've experienced and need what you learned to help them grow to become self-feeding Christians. Discipleship, some people call it mentoring. Learning how to put into practice the four spiritual disciplines of being in the Word, in prayer, in worship, and fellowship every single day of their lives. And then putting into practice the four virtues. Pursuing holiness, practicing godliness, walking in righteousness, and living in obedience. And that's what it's all about. It's instructing people to do that. And then number six, evangelism is intercessional. Pray that God will give us people who need to hear the gospel message and are ready to hear the gospel message. We need to pray for ourselves. God, help me. Get me over the fear. Let me tell you something. I was afraid to share my faith. But God got me over that fear. Pray for ourselves. We need to pray that God will not only take us the fear away from us, but God will give us the burden to share our faith with lost people, and that God will get us ready and prepare the hearts of people that He wants us to share the gospel with. I told you earlier I'm going to tell you the story of the first person I led to Christ. I had this conviction that I need to be out sharing my faith, but I didn't know what to do. So I found this church. I lived in Lodi, California, and I found this church in Modesto, California, First Baptist Church of Modesto, and then I just drove down there. It was 40 miles from my house there, and I learned the evangelism that they taught, but then I just wasn't satisfied, so I got a hold of the navigators, and they gave me the name of a guy who lived in Turlock, California, and that was a little bit farther from my house. That was like 50 miles from where I lived. And this gentleman named Len Sanney took me under his wing, and he mentored me for 15 years. Almost every week I drove from Lodi, California to Turlock, California. And he taught me how to share my faith. And then he told me, now you need to go, early in the time that we spent together, you need to go and you need to share your faith and you need to learn how to lead somebody to Christ. So I was working at in a steel mill at the time, and there was a young guy there, and his name was Tom Martin. And so I was nervous, and I went up to Tom, and I said, Tom, I learned how to do something, and I need to practice on somebody, and if you'll let me practice on you, I'll buy you breakfast. He said, okay. So we met at a local restaurant at 5 o'clock in the morning because we had to be at work at 6:30. So after breakfast, I said, Tom, there's something I need to share with you. And I want to share with you what I learned. And I want you to tell me how I did. This is just practice. So I began to share with him what I'm going to share with you this afternoon, how to share the gospel. And I drew what was known as the bridge illustration. I shared it with him. And at the end, he was real quiet. And he looked at me and he said, Mike, I want to pray and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And you know what I did? I panicked. Here we are in a restaurant full of people, and I said, right here and now, Tom? Yeah, right here and now. In front of all these people? Yeah, in front of all these people. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You want to go out in the parking lot? We'll do it in the car. And finally he looked at me and he said, Mike, are you going to lead me to Christ or not? And so that right there in the restaurant, we prayed, and he received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And I mentored Tom. And then but right after he prayed and received Christ as personal Savior, he looked at me and he goes, I'm in trouble. I said, why? He said, when I get home and tell my wife what I did, she is going to be mad. About 4 days later, Debbie and I were living in an apartment, and there was a knock on the door. And I opened the door, and there's Tom with his wife. And I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. She's here to confront me. And Tom looked at me, and here's what he said. I want you to share with her what you shared with me in the restaurant. And we were able to see his wife, Sally, come to Jesus Christ and receive him as her personal Savior. Folks, if I can do it, you can do it. It's not us doing it. It's God doing it. Effective evangelism is taking the initiative to share Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's giving spiritual birth and seeing a new life change before your very eyes. Because in the moment that person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they go from being bound to eternal death, bound to eternal life. And God used you to help that come about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. We pray, Father, that you will bless this congregation and bless these people who are here this morning. And give them a burning passion to see lost people come to Jesus Christ. Young people, teenagers, young adults, adults, senior citizens who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that you'll bless this church, Father. Not only as they reach out and share the gospel message with lost people, but as they touch lives through service, ministering to people who are hurting, ministering to people who are in need, taking care of people's needs. That's what Jesus did. The Bible tells us Jesus met people's needs, and then he preached the gospel. And help us to always remember, as we meet people's physical needs, help us to meet their spiritual needs by sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ with people who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. Bless this congregation. Thank you for the work they have done. Thank you for the work they are doing. And thank you for the work they're going to be doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.